Cattle numbers continue to see some stronger trade for this Wednesday midweek. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. David Erickson joins us today. He is with Ag Optimus out of Akron, Iowa. Let's talk about that stronger cattle market that we're seeing. Might be putting some pressure to keep some stronger cash as well for the week.
Yeah, absolutely, Susan. You know, I think overall, what is really kind of gravitating the market higher again today is the fact that there are no market-ready cattle that are out there. Obviously, there are some, but the numbers in the supply are very tight right now overall. And so we opened up and we gapped higher. We have went back and kind of filled that gap in the June live cattle. But we are above our previous highs that we put in on the second day of the month earlier. So if you were looking at a chart and you were kind of studying that chart, you would say that we're kind of just starting or going to be starting our third leg higher, which would project us another $4 to $6 higher from here, depending on how you want to draw those lines and how big of a breakout you want to make. The trouble is, and this has kind of been the trouble all along, is the fact that the packer is still under pressure, and they are running at extremely tight margins and probably running negative margins. Yesterday afternoon, we had the choice cutout down $1.50, I believe, overall. And, you know, so their margins aren't improving. And, you know, it's a matter of who's going to blink first. Is the packer going to try and do something in order to try and gain the upper hand, or are they going to continue to hemorrhage money? And, you know, that's a question that I don't really have the answer to. And, you know, as of right now, I would say that there's no way that the packer can try and regain their leverage just because of the simple fact that the market-ready cattle just aren't out there.
What about from a cash perspective of the hogs? I mean, some are saying we're going to see some stronger cash yet this week. And I know that Japan saying that they're going to start taking U.S. hog or pork over Mexican pork in their restaurant servings.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, one thing that kind of gets lost in the shuffle in this whole tariff talk and this whole trade war talk is, you know, at first, and obviously that has been resolved thus far, but at first a lot of people were focused on, you know, what's this going to do on the pork side from a United States and Mexico perspective. But, you know, the Chinese also buy a good amount of pork from the United States. And, you know, I think that that's something that kind of got lost in the shuffle overall. And so we need to keep a close eye on that. And, you know, the cash hogs have been stronger and the futures have actually come up and they have come along for the ride. Now, one thing I will say is that the spread between the cattle and the hogs is way too wide right now. And, you know, that's probably a product of, you know, the numbers being extremely tight on the cattle side of things. But on the hog side of things, I think that the numbers are a little tighter than what the market is projecting. And, you know, there has been some disease pressure that's been put on that market overall. And so I think that we will see a little more a ramp up on the hog side of things. From a meat counter perspective, when you look at your alternatives, obviously the price of ground beef is, you know, the highest price item that a family can buy as a protein source. And then actually it's chicken and then pork. So when you compare the price of ground beef to a pork loin, or compare the price of ground beef, or compare a pork loin to a chicken breast, the pork is actually kind of the cheapest show in town. So I think that will start to get a little shine here, especially if we're concerned about what the economy is looking like moving forward.
On the grain side, before we wrap this up, I saw that the palm oil price has done a bit of cooling. Does that mean we could see a pullback on the soy oil and the push that they've had as of late?
Yeah, you know, the soy oil market has kind of been the hottest market in the soy products, you know, between the meal and the oil. And I kind of thought for a long time that at the end of the day, I didn't see that the oil just screaming higher and leaving everything kind of in the dust, but it has thus far. I still contend that the soybean meal and the soybeans themselves are a little undervalued given, given the conditions overall. But, you know, we'll see. At the end of the day, as we get into spring and we're starting to plant both corn and soybeans overall, I think that, you know, it still makes way more sense to plant corn if it works for your operation. So I think that's the way a lot of people are leaning, you know, especially here locally. We've had a pretty conducive spring so far to get some corn in the ground. So that has offered itself to that narrative as well.
All right, sounds good. David Erickson joining us today. He is with Ag Optimus out of Akron, Iowa. I'm Susan Littlefield. This is the American Ag Network.